Sim.
Hello, Anna.
Oh my God. You sat. Why are you perched on the chair?
Sorry, I'll sit down.
Yeah. No, no, no. You don't have to.
Whatever makes you comfortable.
Oh my God.
Are you comfortable now?
Yes, I'm comfortable, but if you wanted to be perched on the chair, I just hadn't seen you do that before.
It was a weird move. I don't know why I did it.
It felt like a power play.
Momentary, it's gone. Past.
I'm sorry, I'm analyzing your every move.
I know. It's okay, though.
So I got to work today, and first of all, I've always wanted to be really open with my amazing listeners and just with who I am, because I don't feel like I have a lot to hide, maybe a couple of things, but not a lot overall. But sweet Chris, my ex, got engaged to Catherine today, and I'm so happy for them. I knew that it was going to happen, and I love her. And I love him, and I'm just so happy that they found each other. And I so subscribe to the idea of like expanding like family and love and with Jack. And I guess when you are in a public relationship, it's not dissimilar to like when Allison Janney here on Mom like wins an Emmy, and I'm so happy for her, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm so thrilled that I get to work with such a brilliant actress. But I know that people like at work, when I come to work, they look at me like, are you cool with this? And it's like, yes, of course I'm cool. And that's almost like the harder part of things, is people sort of looking to me for my reaction.
You're super happy for, I mean, I know this because just from knowing you and speaking to you every day, ever since they started dating, you were so happy for them. And
yeah.
And she, I haven't met her, but
no,
she seems lovely. You said she's amazing.
Yeah. And I'm in a relationship. Like
you're in a relationship and you're happy. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Jack is happy. Everyone's happy.
It's funny how it didn't occur to me until I walked into work. It felt like, you know, that feeling of like being the new kid at school,
right,
a little
right.
bit. Like, wait, why are you guys, wait, what's that? Wait. Everyone's like kind of surreptitiously taking my temperature. and that's just a funny element to having a public life. But no, Chris texted me this morning and he was like, I proposed to Catherine last night, and I was like, ah, that's amazing. And I said, I texted him back, like, I just want to remind you, I'm an ordained minister.
Yes. That's true. Chris, I can attest to that. She married me, Chris, and she did an amazing job. So
thanks. I don't think that Chris
that
will be listening. Maybe, you know, I'll tell
wouldn't
him,
that
maybe.
Be, oh my God. I don't think it's ever going to happen. But
well, I'm not very good at it.
I think you're very good at it.
Thank you, Sim. I do want to be open with my dear listeners, and I do want to congratulate Chris and Catherine. And so yes. I love you guys, and I know that I'll send you a text saying like, hey, by the way, I talked about you guys on my podcast, but I do love you, and congratulations, and I'm thrilled. They're both fucking amazing people. I'm so happy. And
two of you, I'm going to say this right now, this is a compliment to you and to Chris. The way you're handling your public divorce and your co-parenting, the way you're doing it, it should be the gold standard.
Because the truth is, there isn't any bitterness. And I'm just so happy that we're all really happy. And
do you think there'll be a day there where we can get Catherine and Chris on the show?
I would love that.
That'd be amazing, right?
Yes.
I would love that too.
Wedding planning. What's it like? You know it's my favorite topic. Anyway,
that's great.
Hey, thanks, dear listeners, for letting me like blech.
Yeah,
but it's truly how I feel, and I think the reason why we're talking about it too, Sim, is because I do feel the need to just have my voice heard on the matter.
Yes,
you know, and anyway, I love you guys, and thank you all for your support.
And now, The Bachelor, Colton Underwood.
Colton Underwood. There might not be a better name.
It's a great name.
In the history of names. I really want to be a contestant.
Wait, how do we get Anna on The Bachelor? Like, can we figure out like
a
100%. Well,
can we figure out like a podcast date?
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the, how do you, I'm a bachelorette in a relationship as it might be, but I'm fascinated by the dialogue of like when you have cameras all around you, and I'm sure you've probably had this same conversation like all day today, but how does one sell oneself? And you don't have to because you're already like the king. I don't know. Is there like, I need to work on maybe my eye batting?
No.
Or like,
honest, but see, like,
even like from the very beginning, it's just like who you are. Like, just if you're nervous, own that you're nervous.
I'm nervous right now. Coats and underwear.
Here we go. No, I think like the major thing and the one thing that I tried to do this whole season was like just try to make people as comfortable as possible.
How did you do that?
Like casually kicking your feet up. I know. So I got critiqued a lot because like obviously it doesn't look good on camera if you're like slouching. They'd be like, I'm sorry, but we just want to get your best angle. So like you'd always have to sit proper.
I would be the worst at that.
Oh, I was so bad. But I mean,
I don't know if you have a bad angle, by the way, Colton. Sorry, go on.
I appreciate it. But I think just making sure like, hey, I've been in your position before. Like before you even start having a conversation, be like, hey,
I've been in your position before. Nice.
And it took me a while to realize that because I came off Bachelor in Paradise and went straight into Bachelor. So I felt like, you know, I had it under control. I was used to like the cameras. I knew all the camera operators by name. I knew the audio mixers by name. So like I felt like I just had like I had it down.
Yeah.
But then I also just made the assumption like, oh, these girls got it. But they really like it's an intimidating thing.
Oh, completely. And you're getting like mic'd up and you have this thing attached to your bra strap. And you're just like, I didn't wear the right dress. And like for this mic or something.
They have it rough. Like ladies wearing their heels. I don't know how they do it because I'm wearing like flat dress shoes that are sort of comfortable. And I'm still like my feet are hurting.
Those are really nice shoes.
Thank you. I'm a shoe guy.
Yeah, I heard. And I'm so tempted to say that you have very handsomely large feet.
I have big feet. What do they say? What's the saying?
Oh. Yeah. Listen, we're not going to get into that. Well, we could. So, Colton, thank you so much for being here. Truly, it's so kind that you're here in my annoying dressing room. And I feel like I stink, which I do. We were rehearsing for the show today. And then we come and do podcasts up in my cramped.
I love it.
Tired dressing room.
It's cozy though. You have food, you have wine. You have the setup.
Well, I have to get my guests relaxed.
Here we go. I'm relaxed. Let's go.
Okay. So you're done with everything and there's no contact. I know I'll just get this minutia out of the way because I'm sure you've been talking about it forever. But when can there be contact? Like with the chosen.
Do we know that he picked someone? Do we know that for a fact? Oh. We don't even know that, right?
Oh, we don't know that. Oh, shit. Oh, man.
See, you're just going to have to see how everything plays out. Because here's also the reason why I want that to be the case is because I came into this like, I got this thing figured out. I know how this works. I had an idea how the format of the show goes. And there was a lot of ups and downs, and it wasn't pretty. And I think that was one thing that I realized, you know, love isn't always like this beautiful thing. Like it's beautiful at times, but there's ups and downs and I want people to experience it with me. And I don't want, it's like the best kept secret.
Did you feel like maybe it's an obvious question, but that certain people you thought you knew one side of them and then maybe something else is.
Yeah. There's ups. It's like any other relationship. There's ups and downs. You find something out about somebody. You're like, oh my gosh, that's so attractive. That's awesome. That's unbelievable. And then 2 days later, you see how they handle a certain situation or how they react to something. And that tells you everything that you need to know about them. So then it's just like the ebbs and flows
but
of a relationship.
Are you able to witness that?
Sometimes.
Because I feel like you're kind of protected.
You're protected in a way. So like the producers don't tell me anything about any of the women. It's up to me to ask those questions. And it's up to me to observe and really try to analyze and figure out who they are, what type of person, you know, are they... Like, just who's best for me at the end of this?
And when you're in your bachelor house, do you get lonely? Like, how does that work?
No.
Do they
believe it or not? We keep a very busy schedule, so we're always like either on a date, in an interview, filming.
Right.
When I wasn't sleeping, I had a treadmill in my room, so I was working out or running.
Are you allowed to watch things or listen to podcasts?
I watched some TV. I had a TV in my room, but I barely had any time to watch it. And then I had an iPod. They gave me an iPod without like Wi-Fi connection, so I could listen to music.
You have no idea what's going on in the world.
The only way that I knew about it was if something like major happened, and it was like breaking news. But other than that, I get downloaded when the show's over. They're like, hey, by the way, this happened, this happened, this happened, because you miss everything like pop culture, sports, like. It was during NFL season, so I missed all of the NFL games for the most part. And we were traveling. We were in Asia for most of it. So, like, you know, Chargers are playing at like 3 a.m. or...
Okay, so wait, speaking about football for just a second, and then we'll get on to like the relationship-y stuff. But did your parents, like how did you get into football? And was that sort of, did your parents like have your full like backing with that? And when you joined the NFL, I was asking Terry Crews about this a few years ago. What must it feel like to slam against another person's body with everything that you have? Hey, like
sometimes it feels really good. Like when you just want to let the anger out and let it go. But my parents were both athletes growing up. So it was one of those things at a young age. Well, hey, if you're playing sports and keeping yourself busy, they knew the like the life lessons that came out of it. Then it became in high school, hey, if you're playing sports, you don't have to get a job. So you always are playing for different reasons. And then I was blessed enough to get a scholarship and play on a full ride at Illinois State. And then from there, I really realized like playing in the NFL was is achievable. And then once I got to the NFL, I was on practice squads and bounced around, and I took pride in making my teammates better. I knew my role, and I like wanted to do the
best
that I could.
Will you forgive me? I don't know what your role was.
Oh, I was on the team, but I was on the practice squad, which means that I just practiced. So honestly, it's
Rudy. Do you remember Rudy?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's sort of like
he was Rudy.
The best. Oh yeah, I meant to tell you.
What?
Because you said you talked to Terry Crews. You know Terry Crews is on my season this.
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
We love Terry. Next episode.
We love him.
Yeah, him and his wife are both there.
His podcast episode was one of my all-time favorites. You should go back and listen to this one.
He talks about the cult of masculinity within football. And he also talks about something very interesting, which is about how player loyalty is sort of enforced and sort of mentally cultivated when they get traded. You know, players just get traded, and then there's sort of this expectation of being incredibly loyal towards one's home team, which is not their home team, and then eventually
it's the most ridiculous business I've ever been involved in, and it's most cutthroat and most brutal, and just sort of ass backwards. But I mean,
they don't like if you get
you're
injured,
a piece of meat.
You're not going to get paid.
You're a piece of meat.
Yeah, you're a piece. Like they don't. They will turn you over.
They'll use and abuse you. That's exactly how it is. And yeah, there is stigmas, and there's certain things like if you don't fit into this mold of like this athlete persona, you're considered a distraction to the team. And then, do you really want to be a distraction, or do you want to be different? And like that was like the hardest thing for me too. Is like I always had to like put on this front and this lie just to fit in, just because I didn't want to be that distraction.
Wait. What do you mean?
So a good example of this isn't even me. It's Tim Tebow. I mean, you go in there and everybody, he's considered a distraction to a team because everybody, he's so faith-based. And then they talk about his virginity, that it was taking away from the locker room and from asking football questions. And then the team doesn't like that.
So it's like the whatever media latches on to a narrative.
Correct.
And
then if you don't fit that narrative, then you're going to be, you get forced out.
Right. Oh, interesting. And fucked up.
Yes, majorly.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And it's mentally, like that's probably what Terry was talking, it's mentally exhausting for a guy like me, because I've never been the most athletic, but I've always trained very hard and I've worked really hard at everything that I've had or earned in my life. But when you're doing that and then you're watching,
you're viewed as expendable or even better than expendable, I suppose, but not much, as a commodity, which, you know, as an actor,
it's a cutthroat business.
Yeah. Yeah. You can sort of relate to the idea that like, okay, well, there's a lot of talented people out there. So how do you gauge your own value in the system that's sort of like, feels like it's dictating that.
Yeah.
So how do you find like your own, I don't know, sense of worth, I suppose.
Well, and that's the thing is like for the longest time I let football define me.
Oh, interesting.
Like
yeah.
I always like let that be my thing. And it was really hard because it was in a way it was like built in, like every family Christmas, all my family being like, right. So how's your chances next year? Like what team are you on?
And so that's
it's like,
so much.
They never ask like, hey, how are you doing? Right. Like I remember that as a kid, I was like, do they like know, like I have a life outside of football? Do they know how my schoolwork's going? Do they know how this is going? And that's not a fault to my family because they're very supportive. And I think for me too, like they know I enjoyed football. I liked playing it. I had a love for the game, but it becomes a point where, all right, well, you guys going to ask me how my personal life's or how I'm mentally doing or how I feel
I completely understand. I have the most incredibly supportive family, and I've been acting for a long time. But when I would go home,
that's all they want to talk about.
Holidays, and it wasn't so much them, but it was more people outside, the neighbors and my old family friends, and it was like, why don't you go on Dancing with the Stars? Or like, well, you should have been that role, and it's like, well, yeah, I tried. Listen.
Right.
No, you're not telling me anything new. But yeah, the identity that feels after a while so separate from people who love and care about me from a distance, they just can't relate to the experience of the constant pressure and rejection and acceptance. And it's like,
it's overwhelming. It almost becomes overwhelming too, because you're like, oh man, you almost feel like the additional pressure now, like to make, and it doesn't even make sense. And I think I realized that this last year is I put so much pressure on myself of like trying to live up to a certain standard. Where now it's like, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life because I just own who I am and I'm comfortable in my skin now.
That's amazing. And I think that also comes maybe with age too. I mean, not that you're...
But it does, like experience, like this last year, as far as my personal experience has gone, has been at least 10 years worth of experience just crammed into the year.
That's amazing. I don't know if you feel like telling us a little bit more about that. Is it because like the ownership of honesty?
Yeah. And I think like I'll go to bat for this franchise and this show. Everybody, like I am very aware that we're filming a TV show, right. But the reality of it is when you don't have your phone, when you don't have access to TV and you are sitting across from somebody and really getting to know them, you're really getting to know a lot about yourself too, because they're asking tough questions, questions that I've never been asked in my life. And you're talking about things sometimes for the first time. Obviously there's a camera on you, but you don't realize it in the moment. And then when you actually say them out loud, you're like, oh man, that's why I felt the way I felt like that. And I just had so many, I call them aha moments, where after I said it, I'm like, oh, that's why I am the way I am.
Because the ladies on the show have limited time with you, do you think that people wanted to ask, like, just kind of get to the point of things?
Yeah. You don't waste any time. And I appreciate that because that's one thing in my life. I don't like to waste time.
Right.
And I, growing up, never dated just a date. I date with a purpose. I date for marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a position where I want to waste my time, where I want to waste your time. So we have to figure this out. And the only way to figure it out is to get to know each other. And to ask the tough questions.
Have you been in long-term relationships?
I had one prior to the show. And I think that was the reason why I went on it, is because I never really spent time focusing on my personal life. I always was professional and career-driven.
You were driven, yeah. I always want to be honest with my listeners and open. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to do this podcast. The other one was because I wanted to talk to strangers without sort of the cloak of celebrity a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that later. But my first husband, I always sound like, you know, I'm really sophisticated when I talk about that. I think that it was checking something off of the list a little bit for me. It was like, okay, because I was so career driven that it was like, okay, like I've got the relationship part down.
Yeah.
I've got that part secure. Uh-huh. That's on lock. Because I love being in a relationship. I like having intimacy. Insecurity in an insecure, you know, a profession.
Yeah.
And I do think that was, you know, maybe some missteps in my life has been sort of that need to lock that part down, to check that thing off the list.
Mm-hmm. I think I realized that though too, is because my mom had me when she was 24, my parents separated. And I think for me, it's like, I had this checklist off of the standards of my parents. It's like, okay, well, I remember sitting there, I was like, I'm 24. My mom had me. She was married. She had her life together. And like, I viewed that as success because that's all I knew, is like the checklist thing.
Right.
Where now it's like, I just want to enjoy my life. I want to be in the moment. I want to be present. Whatever happens, happens.
Right.
But I tried not to plan. I tried not to strategize. But I feel like that's what successful people do, is like they have goals in mind. But you can't do that. It's not realistic to do that in your personal life. You can't set benchmarks for a personal goal, like something of that magnitude.
Right. No, you're 100% right. But I think there is a societal pressure, maybe especially for women, I don't know, but to like, okay, I got that part done, mm-hmm. got that part done, have a kid. And because acting, there's so much instability,
yeah.
as I'm sure it is with, you know, being in the NFL, the athlete world, that it's like you cling on to something that may be, that feels stable, even though it might be preliminary, I suppose.
Or you avoid it in total like I did, because I didn't have stability. I mean, that it's a truth though, because yeah. I would be in San Diego and in the position that I was in on practice squad, it's week to week. Like I didn't know when I was going to get my next contract signed or if I was going to be picked up. So a good example of that is I signed with the Chargers in 2014, played the preseason with them. So I was there for OTAs and preseason for 6 weeks, got cut. Went to Philadelphia, played with the Eagles for 2 weeks, got cut, went straight back to San Diego. Can you imagine if I had a family? I get excited. I'm like, hey, I got an opportunity in Philadelphia. We're going to take there and we're going to start planning our life around there. And it's like, oh, by the way, you get fired. Like, because people, when they view it, they talk about NFL players like, they're like, oh, he got cut, he's done. And it's like, no, I got fired and I'm now unemployed and I've worked my whole entire life for this. And you just say, oh, he got cut, he's a trash player. And then you get picked back up. And it's like, it's just big. It's actually much bigger than what people think too. But it's just, the stability wasn't there. So why would I, in my mind, it's like, why would I put somebody else through that too?
And then also you have your family, like you were saying earlier, like your family celebrating and you feel the pressure of that.
Because then I feel like I'm letting them down.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And what I had to realize, I think through the course of my career, which has had ups and downs and ups and downs or whatever, but that I realized that their celebration is not equivalent to the disappointment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like they have my back. And it's not like, and I feel like, oh, I'm going to let them down that I, whatever, didn't get that job or they're, but that's not the case. They're just like ready to celebrate when I do get the next job.
I found that out too. And because I have the same, I have a very supportive family. It's based off of your happiness. So they just want to see me happy. Right. And I realized like the times that they've seen me the happiest was when I was playing football. So their correlation was, okay, football makes him happy. His success in football is what we want to see because we want to see him happy.
Sure.
And I think it was up to me to show them like there's other aspects of my life that make me happy.
Right, completely. And of course, like they brag to the neighbors or whatever that but
any mom and dad should.
Right. But at the same time, it's like we put as children more weight on that than they do almost, you know? Yeah. Like it's like, yeah. So they tell the neighbors like, oh yeah, you know, she didn't get that job or whatever. Like, but it's not like it's affecting them as much as we perceive it.
No, because we're so close to it. That's the thing. We're almost blind to it because we're so close to it and we hear about it. But I see. It's the correlations. In my opinion, the NFL is an entertainment industry. It really is.
I just want to say something for listeners listening right now who aren't familiar with the NFL. To get onto a practice squad of any team is almost impossible. To get onto a practice squad and be cut and then picked up again and then get cut and it picked up again is like winning the lottery. To get 100%. Into the NFL and play even one game is like winning the lottery. To sustain a career, running backs now, oh my God, like they're 1 year and they're done because there's someone else that's coming up and then that's why they're not signing for big contracts. It is such a cutthroat industry. The fact that you did what you did is amazing. So don't like, I don't want you to sell yourself short in the sense that you're a disappointment. What you did was insane.
But wait, Colton, this is where I need you to forgive me. What position?
I played linebacker for 2 seasons and then I finished my career at tight end. So defense for first 2 years and then offense. So I went from tackling people to catching the ball.
What did you prefer?
I like hitting people. I don't like getting hit.
Okay, so wait. So did you like, I mean, because there's a fucking ton of pressure, I would imagine, to catching the fucking ball.
Well, to change positions at that skill level, I'm trying to compare it to like for you. It's like changing your acting style. Like going, like it's almost like it's would be like it's a completely new playbook. It's a completely new scheme, completely new stance. Like, from the ground, you are gutting everything that you know and you learned over the last, for me, it was 16 years, and then you're changing it.
And then being on the offense, if this is me being completely idiotic, So you're servicing the quarterback completely. So if you don't catch like a ill-timed throw, I mean, that's like being, I don't know, Horatio to Hamlet or something. I don't even know. Like,
I love where we're going with this.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like the...
But it all comes down to, and it's one of those things, it all comes down to time, precision, time, working off of each other. You know how it is. Like, I'm sure there's other actors that you really, you perform way better around because you guys play off of each other so much better.
Well,
that's how it is.
So, and on the show, I know it's like, it's a stretch here maybe, but on the show that I do, Mom, I oftentimes have what I call the T-ball stand lines, where I'm like, seriously, Mom, like blah, 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 blah. Not a funny line, but it sets people up for a joke. And I enjoyed, because I love my show, I love my team, but I understand my position. And and it is like, this format, actually, like multicam is sort of the closest I could imagine to being on a sports team, but because it is,
it's, you're like, part of a team, you're a part of a bigger picture,
exactly,
because you're setting it up for somebody else to have success.
If
you're a blocking tight end, you would you know, create a nice block to get
for the running back
to get a first down, and so that you're setting someone up. So it works, right?
100%.
But I want to do the victory dance.
You could do the victory, just run next to your running back and
I'm
do the victory
do right
dance
now.
For them.
Okay, so wait, Colton.
Yes.
I know that you have to leave because you probably have something else to do.
He has Kimmel.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Wait, we have the time though, right?
We're good.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Okay. Have you ever been on a dating app? Probably not.
No.
Okay. Sim has a lot. But let's imagine, if you don't mind, Colton, that The Bachelor never happened.
Okay.
And you're single.
Yep.
And you join a dating app and you're on a series of first dates.
Okay.
These are deal breakers. You can say, you know, yes or no.
Yeah.
Whenever she has to pee, she says, I have to make my bladder gladder.
Playful, cute, and funny. So yes. I mean, that's not a deal breaker for me.
Okay. But what if she says it like this? Oh, I have to make my bladder gladder.
Okay, not cute, funny, and sweet. So it all depends on the delivery. And does she say it multiple times over dinner?
Oh,
maybe
I
like
have to
once
make my bladder gladder. Do you get it?
I get it. It would all depend on the delivery.
Do you know I love baby horses?
Really?
Colts.
Ooh.
Yeah, we really love them. Colts, and I have to go make my bladder gladder. I'm sorry, you're out on this date with this person.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Wait, this is a different person, though.
Okay.
Okay. She says, I know that the networks put in sound effects when the helmets crack on TV.
I would say, you're a liar.
No. But my dad, like, he actually is a Foley artist. And he told me that, like, whenever, like, the helmets and, like, your shoulder shields, whatever you call it, like,
really?
Crack against each other, like, they add in additional, like, watermelons, like, cracking or whatever.
Now you're just full of shit. Some guys are, like, mic'd up. I think that would probably be.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the best audio, is when players are mic'd up.
This is juicy.
NFL Films has been doing it for years.
You need to Google some, because there's some really good, like, funny lines that people, because just think about it. Like, when you mess up, some of the stuff that I would say, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not mic'd up right now. Because some of the stuff I'm saying running down the field when I'm mad, it's just like,
where the fuck do they put their mic packs? They get hot, those things. I mean, you probably, for ladies.
It's an antenna.
I think it's a very small microphone.
No. Those things are hot.
Oh, we wear a waistband around ours.
But what do the ladies do? Because I know
they strap
it
to their bra.
Yeah.
Or like the back
or
of
like their thigh. Right? Like
or,
the in, their inner
or they
thigh.
Slip, like when I wear a suit, they slip into my back pocket. So I don't
that
have
means
to wear a waistband.
Wait. Oh, so you don't have to wear it. I thought that maybe the ladies' mic was in your. It's like,
dang, we're getting really
intimate. They're very close.
Go ahead and slip your mic back in my back pocket.
Okay.
I'm gonna use that. That's a good pickup line.
That's a really good pickup line.
She tells you she has never watched The Bachelor, but then when you go back to her place, you find an entire season on her DVR.
Oh my! I've actually dealt, like, I've had people do that to me before. They're like, I don't watch a show, so you're going to have to bear with me. But do you remember in season one when you're on the show and episode two when you said this at this moment? I'm like, wait, you said you don't watch the show, but yet you're asking me about something I said on the show.
Oh my God.
I've caught people red-handed. It gets awkward.
We have to do this later. Can we do a little improv?
Let's do it.
All right. So you're at a sports bar.
Yeah.
In Hollywood. Maybe you're hanging with a couple of buddies.
Yeah.
Whatever. And Sam, what do you think your bartender name should be?
Let's call Dumb Dan.
Dan. All right. I'm going to come sidle up next to you, but don't worry about it because your friends are over there. Oh my God. Yay. Oh my God. Can you, they won't even turn it up loud enough.
Do you need the volume turned up?
Yes, please. Do what was your name again?
Well? Dan.
Yes. I want to.
Hey, Dan, my man, can you turn the volume up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Of course.
For this lady.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Good. My name's Colton. Nice to meet you.
Hey, it's nice to meet you too.
What's your name?
Autumn.
Autumn?
Yeah.
Nice. What do you do?
Oh, well, I do a lot of things actually. I'm a sports analyst and I'm an actress and that's my side gig. That's how I earn money.
Yeah.
But my passion is sort of massage therapy.
Oh.
You look familiar to me. I don't know why. You've got I don't know.
Really?
That's something weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for the Lakers or?
Yeah, the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the Lakers versus the Colts.
Yeah.
This is going to be a high scoring game.
Oh, my God. They always are, aren't they?
Yeah. When you break down Lakers versus Colts
versus
as a sports.
Baby horses. Yeah.
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 Who's your favorite player for the Lakers?
Oh, God. I would have to say Kobe.
Yeah, nice. He's having a phenomenal year.
Oh yeah. It's oh my really God. Yeah. Him. Well, and I know that we're all these things, but whatever. It's I'm cool.
Yeah, Magic Johnson. I mean, they really could get more out of him too.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I know that he started movie theater franchise.
Yeah. But just that's just a passion of his.
I just feel like that's so cool. Like when an athlete expands, you know.
Yeah. What other do you watch? Any other TV shows?
Yeah. I am. I know it's so stupid, but I really like The Real Housewives.
Which one? You know, there's Game of 12. Thrones. There's 12 cities now.
I like House of Cards.
Nice.
And I don't know. I watch a lot of news. I like to keep up on world events.
Cool.
Current things.
What's your What's your most current thing?
I would say it would be involving borders and
fences.
And I don't know. I just I want to combine compassion with creativity.
Yeah.
That's sort of I don't want to go
it's like a passion.
We just met. I don't want to get all boom. but anyway, yeah.
Nice.
Yes. But you weirdly look familiar to me.
Yeah. I did a show. I think it was last year or something.
Oh my God. Wait a minute. Were you on Below Deck?
No. I didn't get casted for that one.
Mm.
I ended up doing ABC, The Bachelorette. I was one of the guys.
I don't know it.
Yeah.
That's weird, huh?
It was Becca
was on
season. ABC, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It was fun. It was different.
Mm. What's it about?
It's a dating series. So 30 guys date this one girl, and I was just one of many guys.
Oh my God, that must be hard.
It had its challenge. Yeah, it had its challenges.
Yeah, like what?
I mean, dating a woman who's dating other men.
I feel like one of the challenges must be I'm not on a hit show or something.
Well, I mean, I don't want to toot the horn, but it's been around for a lot of years now, so it's sort of popular.
Oh, I'm not that old.
Oh. Well, there's Google and YouTube. So you could watch old seasons. You don't watch the show?
Not really.
No.
I mean, I don't I think it's out there in the zeitgeist or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like my roommate watches something called something The Bachelor or something. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
But
well, you should watch it with her next time or ask her about it. That's fun.
Yeah. Why?
I mean, I think you could learn a lot.
Because you're into me?
Yeah, I'm trying not to break character right now. But yeah, there's just so much you could learn about me.
Okay, can I confess something?
Yeah.
I actually knew who you were.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dead. That's why I'm sitting right here.
Oh, man.
I know. But here's the thing is that I just wanted to be cool because I didn't want like everyone to freak out.
Oh,
because you probably get like freak outs all the time.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I'm also like, I'm kind of known for my generosity.
Oh, nice.
Like, yeah, I'm a Gemini. That means I'm like have dual personalities, you know? Oh,
I'm an Aquarius.
Like a twin. Oh, you are. Yeah. Oh, that means you're peaceful. You're a water sign. That's cool.
Chill.
That means like you're super like amazing in a relationship because you never want to like stir the pot. Like you flow your own way or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you knew about me then this whole time?
No, not the whole time. It was like the Colts time. All right.
See, I've learned to just call people out on it now. Like it's way easier just to be like, I would respect it more if somebody was like, hey, by the way, like I watched you on this. I like how you handled this or I don't like how you handle. Like just go direct with it. And I'm going to go direct with it too. Be like, oh, so you've not.
Yeah.
So this is
but
really
here's
weird
the thing
now.
Is that I've been around a lot of famous people and I never want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. You know,
I was on The Bachelor. I'm hardly famous.
Oh my God. And I just don't want to be like, oh, like I'm in this for the wrong reasons. Like I'm like.
What are wrong reasons? Can I ask you like your definition? When you hear like, oh, they're
wait,
doing it for
I
the wrong.
Am I in character or not?
No, out of character. Can okay, I just, yes, I genuinely
by
have
the way,
a question
Colton, you were really good.
Oh, thank you.
You were really good.
Good. Sweet.
That was good. I didn't even know where to go. You were so good. Damn. It's not often that like a.
I felt like he was like actually charming you. Like,
totally.
Like you were, now I understand why he's
really
a bachelor.
Did. I know.
There's
I
a reason
truly...
ABC. I mean, they're smart people. There's a reason they picked him.
Shit.
He's a charming guy. He charmed you. I've never seen that happen like that.
I know.
Yeah.
Colton, you owned that shit.
Oh, thank you. I told you, anytime I get into something, like I want to try my best and try my hardest. Anything I touch, I want it to be great. They know that too. I was like, I know like we're
even
filming
with,
a TV show, but I know I want to come out of this happy.
Even with Autumn?
Even with Autumn. Yeah, I want to give you a chance.
That's sweet. I don't know if you want to.
I mean, I saw the first episode. Who'd you give a chance to? You gave a chance to Catherine. I mean, I'm convinced.
You want to know why?
Yes, why?
Because I like direct people, and she let it know from the very beginning, like she was there for me, and she wanted to get to know me. I know, and I had an
despite
idea.
Despite her jumping in, like rudely interrupting
Colton,
a few people, like you totally were, you gave her the second chance, even though she interrupted. Like she was kind of mean to the other people that you were talking to.
I didn't, not in front of me though.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? I don't get to see that.
But Colton, is that what it takes? I mean. They're all there for you.
Correct. And the dynamic of every relationship is different. And I think that's something you're going to watch unfold this season, which was hard for me to balance, was I would have a relationship with somebody in which it was playful, fun, and then I'd have a serious romantic, and then I'd have one like that that was sort of the friendly banter going back and forth. So there's so many dynamic.
Right.
There's so many different relationships.
Right.
Right?
Ugh.
I mean...
How
when
do
you date
do it?
When you date Peter and then you go and date Joe, you have differences and then you like something more than then. And then Brian also has this. I'm just making up names. I'm not saying you're all, like.
Oh, I love Peter, Joe, and Brian.
Shout out to Peter, Joe, and Brian, everybody.
But you like I've never really dated. I've been in like 4 long-term relationships.
So you're like me. When you date, you're dating for your purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
And so I wouldn't know how to navigate those waters.
See, that's everybody's like, well, why did you handle it the certain way? I'm like, okay, you tell me how you'd handle dating 30 women. Like, how do you get that experience before going on being the bachelor? You don't.
Were you able to tell like when somebody was kind of being, I don't know, phony?
No, I mean, no.
Do men succumb to like bicep petting and like... like in compliments.
I like physical touch. It's part of like a good, healthy relationship. For me. I like physical touch in a relationship.
Because I'm with you, but I just don't know if men, if there's like a one track, and not necessarily like to get into bed, although I think that is probably an ultimate goal. But I do wonder if some women are much better seducers than I am.
Going through this was really cool because I got to see what I want and what I need out of a relationship, which is two completely different things. There would be different parts of relationships where I'd be like, I really like this or I really need that.
That's amazing that you have that kind of self-reflection about this experience.
Because this is my third show. It took me three shows to realize that.
Okay, so wait, what did you want, and then what did you need? And you don't have to get specific, yeah, no. Of course, but
so like going in, that was one of the questions before I even started filming The Bachelor. It's like, well, what do you like look for? And I say always spontaneous, fun, adventurous. I need somebody to challenge me. I need to be pushed. And I think realizing it in a way is like, this is how exactly I need to be challenged in a relationship. And sometimes I need to be called out. And I appreciate somebody who's willing to call me out and shoot it to me straight, because it might not be what I want to hear at the time, but it's what I need. And it's what I like.
Yeah.
I need to be like, okay, buckle in, call me out for the BS. And yeah. Let's get through it.
Yeah. Is that because, I wonder too, if like being in like the highly competitive world, like football, like you're used to a coach, like.
I take criticism well. Here is right. The challenge on doing this as The Bachelor is I took criticism well when they're like, oh, you missed a tackle. Here's how you're going to improve. And the next game I'd go improve, right? I would have a chance to get better. Now I'm putting my personal life out there and they're attacking or not attacking. They're criticizing my personal life. So now it's not like, it's not a quick fix. Like that's just me. And that's in my DNA. Like that's who I am as a person. So it's hard for me to sit there. You take it differently. When somebody's it's like you take it personal. You have no other way to, because it is your personal life.
It's
sometimes it's hard. Cause I think, and you could probably relate to this too. It's at all the times when people are like, well, how do you take the negativity? And I think the easiest answer for me would be like, in the most fake answer, but I don't see it. I don't pay attention to it. I see that. I see it. Sometimes it gets the best of me. Sometimes I brush it off. It depends what type of mood I am in. I mean, I'm a human being.
Right.
Like we read the comments. I read things I probably shouldn't spend time reading and care about it too much.
Everybody
tells me that.
I know. But I understand. It's like, I understand being in like, you know, the social world or whatever that... It's like you want.
What's your best way to go about that? Do you ignore it completely?
I sweet Michael Sherman, who's right there. Yes. He reads the comments for me.
Oh, nice.
And he gets back to me on when he thinks I should adjust something. but no, I mean, because it's true that like, you know.
So you lean on people. You have a support system.
Yeah, but it's like you could have like 20 really nice comments about something. And then that one negative thing is like kind of just eats away at you like a little acid in your stomach or something.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating that you let something affect you and then you sort of spiral into that idea.
But can you imagine that? Like, I'm so glad my childhood didn't consist of that.
Yes.
Because I can't imagine being somebody who, because I went through my time in high school where I had self-esteem issues and I had my insecurities. I couldn't imagine having to go through that in high school, where now with social media and Instagram and Twitter, it's just so negative and so toxic. I couldn't imagine what it's doing to someone like the children.
I know.
That's just me.
I love it that you just said someone like the children.
Like the youngins.
Colton Underwood. Someone like the children.
The children of this generation.
It's incredible to be sort of where we are in like a privileged idea that people care to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
And you're right, to a platform. And that combined with criticism, because the whole idea with this podcast was to have a degree of vulnerability and to let people know that everybody sort of experiences a degree of the same problem.
Yeah.
Not all the same, but a degree.
Right.
Whether that's rejection, it's usually rejection. Why won't they like me? And, or why didn't this turn out the way I wanted, or why am I not like whatever closer with my parents, whatever. There's a gazillion of them.
Right.
And I think that we lose touch of that in, because there's this, you know, I hate to use the term bubble, but like we can be insulated in this bubble
100%.
Where it's, it almost makes you feel more sensitive.
Yeah. And I think for me too, like the purpose, cause you're like, oh, don't read them. But the purpose for me reading them, I think as an ex athlete, is I'm looking on how to get better. So, and it's not that I'm going to change who I am for somebody, but it's how can I relay my message in a clearer way? Like, why are they misunderstanding who I am? And then
such a brilliant point.
There's sometimes where I'm like, okay, there's nothing I can do or say that's going to make this person like me. It's just, it is what it is. But there's also sometimes where I also realize what was just shown on TV or shown in an interview, they could take a different way. And it's, for me, at least in the position that I'm in, it's like, how can I use my platform to clarify that message? Or how can I really drive that home where I don't change who I am as a person, but I change the message that I'm delivering, if that makes sense.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
I'm not, I would never 100%. Change who I am just to please one person out of my comment section who is trying to tear me down. Thank you. Thanks, Autumn.
Hey, Anna, we have to get
yes.
to the calls.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just because I want to make sure he gets to Kimmel on time.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I don't, you know, if he doesn't get to Kimmel on time, whatever. You won't have a guest.
For you to give to Kimmel.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, but I also have a gift for you. But
I like giving gifts. You know, I love giving gifts. It's my thing. Gifts. It's my love language.
That's your gift giving. Uh-huh. I can tell that.
Do we have a gift right now?
Quality time.
No, I just want. Yeah.
All right. Is this a gift for Kimmel?
Will you give, Colton, will you please give Jimmy Kimmel a gift from me?
Yes.
Okay. Should we show it to you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Will you please?
Okay, Colton, describe what you're holding right now, please.
Right now. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's spermies.
Yeah.
Now I'm holding a little penis.
He's looking at your publicist right now for approval.
It's a stress penis.
Because you know why? Because I represent Walt Disney right now and Mickey Mouse signs. No, but
Anna handed it to you. This is
I have no control, but she just put in my hands, just put a penis in my hands.
Yeah, well, it's fine. It's fine. But we'll just tuck it in here and then you can give it to him privately.
It's like how would you describe the consistency?
It's a stress reliever. It's a stress reliever ball, but it's a penis. So
gotcha.
Oh, look at that.
Wait, you're playing with the balls right now.
Yeah, it's got.
Just, what does it have? Just tell Kimmel that.
Oh, you know what's inside the balls?
It's sperm.
It's sperm inside the balls.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, should we get the calls? Now?